Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and family of Falcondom alike, welcome back to the Falcoholics post-game podcast. I'm your host, Corey Woodruff. And you might be wondering, hey, where'd the other guy go? Well, our wonderful co-host, Michael April, has gone on to greener pastures. We will miss him on the show, and we will look forward to having him on at some point in the season, of course. Me and Mike always have had so much fun doing podcasts, but it'll be me steering the ship from here on out. Corey Woodruff here on the Falcoholics post-game podcast. Of course, the title gives away what we're doing. We'll be breaking down all of the Falcons games throughout the season, looking at how they're doing and just seeing what their performances will mean for the future. For the entire season, we'll be joined by a fun rotation of co-hosts from the Falcoholic and afar as we try to figure out what exactly are these 2000 Falcons doing to these 2000 Falcons. Yeah, we're going for the 2000 team that Todd McClure just joined, and you know they just come off a Super Bowl 2 years after, which is actually what happened in 98. But we're in a different situation, obviously. But we're talking about the 2018 Falcons. And I am joined by a good friend of mine from Falcons Twitter. You might know him as Evan Birchfield, because that's his name. He's a writer for Rise Up Reader and a self-described fantasy football guru. So, Evan, thank you for coming on the show and say hello to the people.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on, Corey.
Yeah, Evan and I we're good buddies. And, you know, he's got, I think, one of the best fantasy football analyses that are out there. That's the guy I'm going to be consulting when I go for my fantasy drafts here soon, because I don't want to lose. So, you know, obviously make sure you're following Evan on Twitter to get your fix, because this whole fantasy football thing is hard and it's easier when you got somebody in the know. So Evan, thanks for coming on the show, and let's talk about this game, man. People weren't happy about it. That was the big thing from Twitter, is that people were not happy about this football game in any way, shape, or form. I was actually working last night at my new job covering some high school football, and I was checking social media every now and again, and it just seemed like the whole thing was burning down, which I know is pretty typical for when the Falcons don't do great, but you know, let's try to actually figure out what happened. I've watched it by now. I don't think it's as serious as people were making it out to be. But I do know that, look, it's preseason. People get finicky about this stuff. So we've got to, you know, try to ease their concerns and try to get the perspectives in proper place. So let's start out by talking about the first team defense. If you don't recall, the first team defense got a nice 3-and-out against the Jets and Josh McCown. Deion Jones was very active on that drive, making sure that he was keeping his rangy speed side to side as being the field general for the Falcons at middle linebacker. You had the defensive line, Vic Beasley and Tyke McKinley both got some pressures here and there. Grady Jarrett looked nice. We got a first look at Terrell McClain in the Falcons uniform. Obviously, he was signed in May. And they didn't let the Jets do a whole lot. Stopped them in a short yardage. They got a nice little pass on third down that the Falcons were able to stop. So they got a 3-and-out, man. So what are you thinking about this first team defense from last night? I feel like no one's talking about the fact that they did look really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, and I kind of mentioned it during the offseason, I feel like the Falcons defense is going to surpass what the offense is doing and be kind of, like, you know, a switch of what 2016 was, where we had this killer offense and, like, you know, I guess you could say average, or, you know, at best, maybe average defense. I think it could flip. I feel like the Falcons defense is going to be outstanding this year. And I think we kind of saw it to begin with. The 3-and-out was, you know, something I didn't really expect. I was hoping they'd come out and fly around and stuff. But yeah, they looked really good, I thought.
I'm very encouraged. I think when you look at this unit, there's just so much talent. I mean, you just look at the linebacking core with Deion and Devondre. You look at the defensive line. Vic Beasley seems to be getting back into form. He's had a nice camp so far and got a little bit of a – he actually used Dwight Freeney's spin move last night that I think somebody mentioned on Twitter. If it had actually, like, you know, if there hadn't been a – Grady in the way of trying to also make a play, actually might have gotten a sack out of it. Tax kind of coming off that shoulder bruise that he had a little bit earlier in camp, and he was on the field last night. You look at that secondary, you've got Ricardo Allen fresh off a new deal. You got Keanu Neal, Desmond Trufant, Robert Alford, Brian Poole, Isaiah Oliver. Now you've got DeMonte Casey, who we'll talk about here in a bit, who had a really nice night last night. He just looked like he was, you know, like one of those guys that was playing down to the competition. Like, or not, he was playing at down competition. He wasn't playing down to the competition, no, but he was really, really doing a nice job against, you know, some of the second and third teams and just flying around, making plays, making it seem like this guy probably is primed for more. But, you know, the defense looked good last night. I think that they've got a lot of room to roam in. I'm really excited to see a guy like Deidre Sanat, who we'll talk about here in a little bit, getting some nice pressures and really looking like he could be a factor in the run game. Yeah.
What did you think of Duke Riley? That was really the only criticism I really saw for the Falcons' defensive starters that everyone was talking about.
I guess
because,
we can go
ahead. I mean, we'll talk. We'll talk about it later, but Foy and Celestin kind of like overshadowed him, I guess, towards the end.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I feel like we need to go ahead and have this Duke Riley conversation because he seems to be the guy people are most angry at besides Sarkisian.
The weak link. People are going to attack him.
it's like that's the weakly thing. It's just being on that set of Stark. Like Tony Stark, the guy from Iron Man. Let's talk about Duke. He obviously let up a touchdown. If you recall the play, Bridgewater got the offense down going into the Falcons' red zone. He threw a slant to Isaiah Crowell. Duke didn't read the play properly and pursued too late, and Crizell ran in for a touchdown. So I think when I'm watching Duke's film, the big thing that stands out to me is that it's not like he can't play. Like, he knows what he's doing. Like, he's got a really nice pursuit when he's able to figure out what's going on. Like, when he's heads up and is able to kind of diagnose a play and be able to kind of do his assignment, he doesn't look bad. But it's just like there is this like A and B connector that's not coming in on certain plays where he's just not diagnosing it. He's getting caught, you know, in an awkward position to where he can't exactly maneuver the proper way. Like, I think his problem is timidity. Outside of the mental errors, which I think players, like especially Duke, just have to work through in their younger years, I think he's playing a bit timid. I think he's so focused on not making a mistake and being a perfect player that he's making a lot of mistakes because he's not showing enough confidence in his game. And I think for a guy like that, I mean, obviously he's got a lot of pressure on him. He's competing for a starting role on the defense. You talked about Aluakin. He's coming on in a big way. The Falcons could hypothetically go with him, and that'd be tough for a guy who was a third-round pick to have a new sixth-rounder come in and replace you. That's not fun. And I think with Duke, like, he's been having a nice offseason. You know, we've heard about him looking good in camp and him making plays. I think last night for him was, this is now the part where I actually have to take camp and put it into practice. So I think he was going to have hiccups. I think he was going to have to, you know, take some time to get used to playing against an opposing team, playing against guys that he's not used to in camp, getting out of his comfort zone or being in familiar confines and Flowery Branch, and actually have to go out on the field and be the Falcons' middle, you know, the Falcons' weak side linebacker. And that's not easy, okay? Like, especially for a guy like Duke, who struggled in his rookie season, missed a month with a knee injury, had to rehab back from the knee injury and go back into a starting role. He was splitting time with Kamal Ishmael. He just did not have anything working in his favor last year. And I think if you're worried about Duke right now, I would just say give him a couple of weeks. Like, we don't need to be running up and down the stairs screaming that Duke's a bust and that he's not going to win the spot and all that. I'll say it. I'm happy to say it. There were some points where he didn't look good last night. There were times where he just did not get to the ball fast enough, times where he just got caught in a weird position because he didn't diagnose the play properly and he let up some plays. And I'm not going to try to sugarcoat that. But at the same time, there were some positives. Again, he was around the ball when he was on the field. And for a weak side linebacker, that's what you need. You need that guy to be able to manage that middle part of the field and just at least get in on the tackle and stop the runner or stop the receiver. Like, you've got to have that from your weak side guy. So I think with Duke, I don't think it was a complete, you know, just difficult night for him. I think he did some good things, you know. There were times where just even if he wasn't the guy making the play, he was around the guy making the play, which is what you want to see. I think it's a wait-and-see situation with him. I really believe right now that they've just got to take these next 3 weeks and these next, you know, sessions in camp and practice to really just – I think he'll get better. I really do. I know that for some folks that's not exactly what you're hoping. You kind of want to see more of Aluakun, seeing if he can actually step into that role, maybe put Kamal back out there in the run situations. But no, I still think this is Duke's job to lose. I think this is going to be a battle for him to continue to prove himself and take more of what he's doing in practice and what he's doing in camp and put it into these real game situations. I know right now if you're wanting to see a team be complete, you're not going to get that in August. I'm going to have a column coming out talking about why this game was a very, you know, it was a mirage. It was just a malevolent mirage. Like, you're going to see things you don't like. But again, this is because you want something in August. The Falcons are not going to give you what they're going to be this year right now, especially in week one. You're not going to get that right now. I'm sorry. Like, if that's what you want, then if that's what you want to get upset about, then you're just going to be wasting your time and wasting your energy, because the Falcons right now are not a team that is really ready to be what you want them to be. And again, that's fine because this is preseason. So I would just say to anybody that's, you know, rubbing their hands together, wondering what in the world is happening, just relax. Like, you're not in a position right now to where you have to, like, have the Falcons be what you want them to be. It's August. They're working out the kinks. They're trying to get ready for the season. That's what preseason is about. Just take a breather.
Yeah, it was basically just like a glorified practice. It wasn't even, you know, I think it, if it was the third week and was, you know, what we call the dress rehearsal game, then I'd be a little more like, okay, well, all, you know, most of the starters were out there. This is kind of where you get your first taste of what the regular season is going to have. But, you know, the season to kick it off, I wouldn't put too much into it. I think, like you were saying, weak side linebacker position is kind of, I guess you could say, up for grabs. I mean, I think it's Riley's to lose, but I think, you know, with Celestin, who was signed, what, maybe like 11 days ago or 12 days ago or something, he came in and he had one of the best games of anybody on the defense. So, I mean, competition's good. I hope Riley wins it, but, you know, seeing young guys like Foy and Celestin step up is promising.
Yeah, I think you've got a point there. I wasn't watching a whole lot of Celestin, but I saw the sack. He diagnosed the play really well and kind of shot the gap and was able to get to the quarterback. The Falcons are good at scouting talent. And I think with Duke, they see the talent, and the talent's there. But at the same time, it's just got to be Duke that makes the steps to fulfill what the team saw in him in college. Because there's just a certain point where a team can see something in a guy and they can be correct. But, like, the player has to take the steps as well to be able to fulfill what was drafted. And I think with the Falcons, you know, again, you're right. This battle isn't set for Duke. He's still got to earn it. He's still got to go out there and continue to get better as preseason goes on. But I think he's going to be given every opportunity. But again, Foye especially, I think, could really make some waves in that competition. He's a really impressive guy. Seems to have been underdrafted, probably a bit more talented than his sixth-round selection. So we'll have to see. You know, I don't want to make it seem like either way on Duke that it's just confirmed that he's going to be great or that it's confirmed that he's going to be bad. I think it's still a waiting game. And I think while we were kind of encouraged by the camp he was having last night, just still shows that there is still some work to be done, but that work can come fast if the work he's been putting in the offseason can catch up with him. That's the nice thing about, you know, football is that sometimes guys just need a couple of, you know, they just need a couple of weeks to kind of get warm. And then once they can finally get into a groove of things, all that work they've been putting in can begin to show up. So we'll see on Duke. We'll see about weak side. That obviously is the story of the night. And I think a fair story to discuss. But I think that a lot of the outrage that isn't warranted at all is what happened on the offense. Obviously, the first team offense was out there for about 2 minutes. It was just a very, very, very brief outing. If you recall last year, they actually scored a touchdown against the Miami Dolphins in the first preseason last year. Marvin Hall was a big factor on that drive. Julio Jones obviously did not play because he was still working out of his toe surgery. But, you know, last night, Julio and Devonta didn't play. The Falcons got pinned back pretty far on the punt into behind their 20. I think it was around their 15, 17, somewhere. I think the 17 was about where you were looking at. And nothing happened. Ryan threw a quick pass to Sanu that got called back on a penalty, so they get marched back even closer to their own end zone. Sark called a couple of runs that the blocking wasn't there for. There was one time where Wes Schweitzer, who was the starting right guard of last night, let a defensive tackle slip by him and stop the runner. And then there was another one where Austin Hooper didn't stay on his block, and the guy got to Tevin there. And then after that, it was like pretty far back. I think Sark literally called a play just to get Matt Ryan a throw to Calvin Ridley in a game situation. I think that's literally what they were trying to accomplish. People freaking out like, oh, they just threw another they threw another
Yeah,
screen pass.
screen.
It was just like, you guys realize that they may have just done that to like give Matt Ryan an opportunity to throw to Calvin Ridley in a game situation. They weren't trying to convert the first down. I hate to break it to you, but if you were looking for a Falcons team to try to drive down the ball when it was like second and third or something in 22 in a preseason game, and they're like on their own 10, they're not gonna go for it. Like they're not gonna like try to get Julio in pads or something real quick off the sideline and convert on this meaningless first preseason game. The Falcons were not trying to win. I'm sorry. I know that, you know, you do want to win in like in the context of just the general idea of who everybody you're playing with, but that offense was not executing last night to score points. They were executing to see what was going to happen. And I think last night I wasn't against anything Sark did. Like I get that they didn't like do anything crazy, but I don't know what people were wanting out of him. Really, like I really do feel like this is an opportunity where Sark really like didn't do anything wrong. I actually thought he called a nice game with Benkert. That was something I thought was really impressive, is that he had Benkert really looking nice. Obviously, you know, they've got a new quarterbacks coach, and he's been working with the team to really kind of get them going. Greg Knapp, who's coming over from Denver after he took a year off, and now he's with the Falcons. He was a former offensive coordinator with Jim Mora. But I really thought that Sarkisian wasn't, I was really impressed with what he had Benkert doing. We'll talk about Benkert here in a second. But I think last night you just saw an offense that really wasn't trying to prove anything. They were just trying a couple of things out. And then I think if they were really worried what happened, they would have put Ryan out there for a second series. But they didn't. Like, if they really were trying hard to convert a first down, then you're not going to run the plays that you did, even if it's Sark. I watched that. We've all watched that team last year. You could see when Sark was trying to get things done and it just wasn't working. Last night was just an opportunity where they were just going out and testing a few things out, and then they left. I think that they got what they needed to done. Yeah, you want to see them move the ball a little bit just for the fact that we haven't seen it since, you know, January, but at the same time, like I really feel like it's not a big deal or really even a deal of worthy discussion of what happened on the offense. I think the only thing that a little bit worries me is that Hooper, you know, let that block slip off. I think Hooper needs to work on his blocking a bit if he's going to be the tight end he needs to be. Obviously, I think he's going to be fine in the air. I'm excited to see his growth as a receiving tight end, but it's the blocking that you want to see continue to improve. And I think that's why they brought Logan Paulson in, and why they're really kind of making sure that the fullback is going to be serviceable, because you've got to have the blocking there from some of your non-offensive lineman players to be able to get these plays off, particularly in the run. So last night, Tevin tried, but he didn't have the blocking there for him. I'm not blaming that on Sark. I'm not. I really do feel like that Wes and Austin were the reasons that those plays didn't happen. And I think just also the fact that no one's going 100%. Like, they're not trying to win the game. They're just trying to go out there and get what they need to done. That's just the way it works. And I'm not super, super concerned about it, to be honest. I think that a lot of the anger at Sark last night is quite unfounded. I'm not saying it wasn't last season. Heck, I got frustrated with the guy about mid-season, and I usually don't get that frustrated with, you know, much of anything. But I do think he did a nice job with Benkert. I really think that if you're talking about Sark, he had that, you know, I guess Schaub was doing okay, but then when Benkert went out there, I don't know if it was just the level of defenders he was going with the Jets, but he was airing the ball out. He seemed like he was ready. You know, he made a couple of mistakes here and there, but he had a couple of long gains. I think that's more of maybe what the Falcons are trying to do offensively, and maybe a better look at exactly what this offense is going to look like, because they weren't going to play Ryan for more than a couple of snaps. There's no reason. Like, he'll get more playing time next week. I imagine the first team offense would get two or three series in against Kansas City, because that's a good defense and it'd be a good test for them. But at the same time, like, you don't want guys getting hurt. Like, you don't want guys getting hurt. It's not worth it to go out there and make fans happy in August and put Matt Ryan in more situations where on a very slippery Meadowlands field he could slip, or any of the guys that they have that are starting. That's why they pulled him fast, is because this game is not about trying to figure out what your team is going to be. It's figuring out real quick, okay, if we did a simulation, what exactly would happen in this random spot that we've been put in with the people that we've decided to play and the competition we're going against? And the Falcons saw last night, okay, we've got to get our blocking a bit better. And, you know, maybe next time we'll try to do some more aggressive play calling. But again, this is a connects opportunity. This is just mix and matching and seeing what works. And I really think on the slant to Ridley, they just wanted to give Matt Ryan an opportunity to throw Ridley a ball on an opposing field. I think that's it. I think that's as deep as you need to read into this, and just leave it there. So what do you think about the offense?
I mean, my only complaint, I guess, it's not even really a complaint. Calvin Ridley out there, or I understand not playing him too, but he was pretty much in and out, you know, which kind of tells you how involved they expect to have him. Like, they don't even want to risk him being out there, you know? I thought it was promising to see Matt Ryan's backups. Matt Schaub didn't have an incomplete pass. Like, he went 9 for 9, which is, I mean, it goes back to what you were saying about Sarkisian throwing calling a good game. Pankhurst, he had that interception, but aside from that, like, he had, I don't know, it seemed like he was throwing darts out there. It was pretty cool. Trying to think what else. Malik Williams was pretty much the only rushing standout, and he actually had a few catches too, but he's a big dude. I didn't realize he's like 6'3", 200 and something pounds, from Louisville. But aside from that, I mean, it's the first game. You kind of, like you were saying, you kind of are just trying to see what you have, you know, hitting some other players and, you know, performing against other players that aren't your own. So I think everybody who's having an overreaction right now needs to kind of calm down. It's not a big deal right now. Most of these guys are, you know, some will make the practice squad, some won't even make the team. So it's kind of silly to worry about, but I wouldn't stress too much over that first drive. They were already in bad, you know, field position anyway. So
yeah, that's just the way it goes. They're testing things out. They're not really trying to execute like they would be in a regular season game, but that's just the way it is. People are going to be pissed anyway, so you just got to learn to live with it.
Yeah.
All right. So that's now true. That we've talked about the first teams, we've talked about Duke. Let's talk about KZ for a second. Free safety, mm-hmm. DeMonte KZ, he was the standout last night, of course. Had 11 tackles. Looked like a superior player to everyone he was playing against, particularly when the first teams would begin to filter out. I think, you know, the thing with KZ, he's a great tackler. He's a great person, I think, to kind of fly around and make plays. I'm still a bit curious to see how he'll do in coverage. There's a play last night where Jermaine Kearse got the best of him when KZ was pursuing him in coverage, and he got the catch. And obviously, you know, it's tough, you know, when you're a younger player and you're going against a veteran receiver like that. And it's not that KZ, you know, needed to necessarily swat the ball down, but I still think with KZ, like, I think if you watch last night and you're like, he needs to be the free safety now, I would just say, hold on, because this is preseason. And again, I think last night, Casey made a very strong case, and he needs to be on the field this year, and they need to get him involved into the defense because he did look really good. But I think on the counterpoint of that is that last night doesn't mean that Casey needs to start at free safety, because Ricardo Allen is still a better player. Like, he's still, like, Ricardo Allen's the brain of the defense, basically, and he's the guy that holds that secondary together to me. Like, he's one of the big reasons why we have to be excited about the Falcons defense. Like, this is not a night where you look at this and go, oh my gosh, the Falcons have just blown all this money on Ricardo. They need to just cut him and start Kazee. And I don't think many people are thinking that. But at the same time, it's like, this is why August football is dangerous, because you don't want to watch this and automatically assume that, like, Kazee is just turned into an amazing, you know, starting, like, you know, Earl Thomas type. And again, I'm not saying he won't be that one day. I don't know what his ceiling is, but I think the big thing with KZ last night is he made a very strong case that he needs to be that third safety that the Falcons are bringing out, to put out with Ricardo and Keanu. Obviously, you've got Ron Parker as well, and they're going to play Ron Parker, and Ron Parker is a great backup to have for Keanu. But I think you're going to see all four of these safeties get time this year. But I think that if you're looking for the future of this team, KZ is one of those guys where you kind of hope that nobody's watching, because he could be a guy that slips through the cracks when his first deal is up and goes somewhere else and potentially gets more of an opportunity. But right now, I think the Falcons have to be really pleased with the secondary group, particularly the safeties, because KZ looked great. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like, he looked really, really good. And I think this means for the Falcons, and particularly Dan Quinn and Marcon Manuel, they're looking at this and going, I think we need to get KZ involved a decent amount this season. We're running these three safety sets. Like, I really feel like he's a really a major help against, when a guy gets loose and the throw happens and he can kind of go and clean it up like Ricardo does. I'd be curious to see how he would do in the slot. I still feel like his coverage skills, he might need to work on it a little bit, because he did have the curse catch last night. But, I don't necessarily think that Friday night's performance for him means that we're going to see him all the time. But I think it means, and if he continues to play like this, is we're going to see him some of the time. And on this defense, that means a lot to say about a guy who was a fifth rounder. Like, again, the Falcons have found really nice draft picks. They don't have to be first rounders or second rounders throughout the Quinn era. But we're going to see him. KZ will have a role in this defense. And I think that last night, that cements that idea that he is going to be a good player for this team. He's going to be a guy that they can rely on in certain situations. But, what did you think about KZ last night? Because I feel like it's like he did a really good job, but at the same time, I can't quite, embrace the entire excitement for it.
Yeah.
There are roles in this team that are defined, and he's not gonna, I don't think he's going to have quite the role people would hope, but I think he will have a defined role in the defense.
I mean, you can't help but feel encouraged by the game he had. But like you were saying, you don't want to, go all in like he needs to start right now. I mean, if throughout the preseason he has, similar games like this, then yeah, I mean, I don't see any issue with bringing him in, rotating him with Ricardo, giving Ricardo some rest or whatever, or even when they need three safeties on the field, that's perfectly fine. He could, kind of be that flex defensive back who, they put around or whatever. I mean, 11 tackles is a big deal, even if it is preseason, that's a big deal. But we'll see what happens with him. I'm encouraged by it, but I'm not saying he needs to start right now.
Yeah, I think that, like, Ricardo's going to be the starter for the next 4 seasons. Like, there's going to be no change out unless KZ just radically transforms during the regular season into just this impossible player that they can't do anything about. And even then, they've already paid Ricardo. And Ricardo, to me, just gives so much to the team that's not even on the field. I still feel like he's the guy that they're going to use for the next, at least 4 years. But, it's exciting to see KZ play so well. I'm really, really encouraged by his development. And just really curious to see how he'll continue to do, particularly as the first teams begin to stay on the field a bit longer, and we can see KZ begin to take more of a role in how he'll actually be playing in the season. But other than that, we've talked about all the big stuff. Let's kind of talk about the smaller
Yeah.
things I think stuck
Special
out.
teams.
Special teams, man, they looked good,
Do
particularly
you see
early.
Isaiah Oliver was back returning some punts? I think he
Yeah,
did
he
one too.
was. He didn't do a whole lot, but he was taking the role. I thought Marvin Hall looked pretty good as a returner. He
Yeah.
looked really good as a gunner. There was one play where he just shot right down the field and was able to, stop the guy in his tracks. And I think that's what you want to see with this unit, is they just need more gunners who can just get down there and make those plays. But
Yep.
obviously, Marvin Hall's a guy that we're going to be talking about this season. Matt Ryan was very complimentary of him and made him seem like he could be the fourth receiver and might maybe compete with Hardy a little bit for that role this year. I still feel like Hardy will win it out at the end, but then again, if Hall continues to progress, we've seen him flash and seen him really stand out like a guy who could be a factor for this team. So I'm really encouraged to see what Hall is going to do this year. We got a bit of a look last night at, speaking of offensive guys, Kurt Benkert got a ton of playing time.
Yeah.
And I thought looked pretty good, considering this was his first NFL action against another team. He threw out some long passes, one to Dontez Bird, one to Devin Gray. Both those receivers had some nice standouts last night. To me, if you watch the Benkert offense, to me it does show that Sark is beginning to get a bit more comfortable with letting the offense loose a little bit. Obviously, I know the competition is much different from what he's going to normally see. But at the same time, you know, it's still a coach wanting us to coach and people working with pieces. And while the Falcons might have had the better pieces on the field than the Jets, I still feel like, you know, the fact that Ben Kurt was able to let it air out a bit and kind of get that offense going. You saw the running back, you saw Justin Crawford, and you saw Malik Williams, two undrafted guys, actually look really nice in terms of, you know, running the ball. Malik, especially there at the end, was getting some.
Yeah, he had three receptions. Like, they were using him a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Crawford looks like he's going to be a very versatile type of player. He reminds me a little bit of Brandon Wilds from a couple of years ago, which makes me sad. Mm-hmm. One of our great preseason guys that got cut. But
I think he's with the Jaguars now.
Is he really?
I think so.
Interesting.
Someone can check that. I'll check.
Yeah, we need to. We'll put it in our show notes and edit it out. You know, running back group right now, it's really, really deep. Ito Smith got some time last night, and he really wasn't running behind great offensive linemen, so it was really hard to get a kind of a read for how he's going to be, but he looked really good as a returner. I'm really curious to see how he'll do on special teams, but yeah, I really think that, you know, this Ben Kurt offense was interesting. You know, I know it doesn't really mean a whole lot, but I think there's some interesting things to take away there. I'm really curious about Malik Williams because there were just some points last night where he was just running over the competition and just kept cracking off long game after long game after long game. Mm-hmm. Makes me wonder.
Well, he's a big dude. He's 6'3", yeah. 215 out of Louisville.
Which is
he's
kind
a
of
big
funny.
Dude.
Like, he looks like he's built to be a blocker. And I don't know, maybe the Falcons could convert him. But then again, when a guy can run the ball like that, maybe that's somebody that could have a role down the road. But Justin Crawford's been in a nice camp, so – you definitely want to see those guys, you know, continue to play well because they could be either stash on the roster for later or make the practice squad. Because a lot of these guys are fighting for their jobs, and this is why this time is really important for them. And it's not as important as the team as a whole trying to figure out who they are. But I do think it's important for, you know, trying to figure out exactly where these guys that are kind of on the bottom half of the roster are going to falter out. You know, I'm trying to think of other things. I think Deidre Sanat looked really good last night. Our buddy Charles McDonald noted that he was looking unblockable. I saw a couple of plays where it really did look like he was making, you know, a bit of a hay for some of the offensive linemen. There was one play where he just got the center out of the way and just slammed the running back down, and it just looked really, really impressive. So I'm really curious to see how Sanat will begin to get filtered into the playing time. I couldn't really get a feel for how Terrell McClain was doing. I think he was out there. It didn't really.
Yeah, they were out there for a little bit.
You know, I'm curious to see how he'll do. He's back in a 4-3 after being kind of miscast in Washington last year. So there's obviously some room for him to kind of get back into form. I know your dear friend Jack Crawford got some playing time.
Yeah, he almost got a sack. I don't know
if he really? Okay, yeah. Very good. Yeah, if you guys don't know.
I think it was Darnold who escaped him.
Evan and Jack are very, very, very good friends. So that's one of my favorite.
Oh, and things. I can confirm that Wilds is the fifth running back for the Jaguars. So
very good. Okay, well, Brandon Wilds, a former Falcons preseason darling, is with the Jacksonville Jaguars, which means the Falcons will see Wilds in the preseason.
Week 3. I'm a be at that game too.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was the closer thing. Okay. So it's gonna be Week 3. Brandon Wilds. That's going to be something to watch. So, you know, I guess, you know, what do you think about everything in general right now, Evan? Like, how do you feel? Do you need to feel anything? Like, if you're looking into what they need to do for Kansas City, like, what do you think the team is? What's the biggest takeaway for you, I guess, from this whole fracas?
I mean, the KZ thing obviously stands out because the 11 tackles thing is just such a, you know, absurd number for tackles in a, even in a preseason game, it's still a big number. I don't really have any concerns or anything overall. You know, hopefully you never want to see them score 0 points. It's just kind of like, even the backups should have done something. But I think one good takeaway, you know, people were kind of trying to make fun of the depth on the Falcons, saying they weren't very good. But if you look, there was no points scored for the Jets in the third and fourth quarter. So obviously the Falcons' defensive depth was doing something, you know. Everybody, you know, the 17 points came in the first half. So, you know, I'd like to see more of certain players like Calvin Ridley. I'd like to see him on the field a little bit more. I think just having like one catch was nice, but a lot of people were talking before this game thinking, oh, we're going to see a lot of Calvin Ridley, but we really didn't. You obviously want to see Riley bounce back, but if he's, if he is what he is, I'd like to see what Aluakon and Celestin can do. The Celestin guy, just, I don't know what it is. I guess he's like my darling of the Falcons preseason. Like maybe he'll make the practice squad. I don't know, but I mean, he had three tackles for a loss, or he had three tackles, three of them, so all of them were for a loss. That's something you want to see. Plus, he had the only sack of the day, and he's only been on this squad for, I checked, like 11 to 12 days ago. He signed with the Falcons, so that's something promising. I don't know if there'll be any undrafteds like that who make the squad, but we'll see what happens as the preseason goes on. And then, like you were saying, week three, that's the big dress rehearsal game where you'll see more of the starters play. I don't know what their plan is currently. If I think last year the starters pretty much played up till halftime. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think we've still got some time to go. Again, you're talking about week three. The Falcons have a big test with that Jacksonville Jaguars defense, especially. I think that's going to be a big night to see exactly where this team is going to be. Because if you recall last year, the dress rehearsal, I believe it was against the Cardinals, they kind of had some things that were okay and some things that weren't. And I think it actually became a bit of an indicator of what the offense was going to look like throughout the season. Like they were going to have some mistakes, they were going to do some good things, they were going to be good enough. But yeah, I think that Jacksonville game will actually be kind of telling. I'm very curious to
Well,
see
and
how.
they're doing it against arguably the best defense in the league. Like
Oh,
if you're gonna do a dress rehearsal, do it against the best,
yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with that 100%, man. My big takeaway from this is that it doesn't matter. Like, I think there are some individual guys who made strong cases for themselves to have bigger roles, particularly KZ, who obviously is the standout of the night. Dietrich Sinnott, I think, helped his case a lot as a young player. And like you're talking about, the Celestin guy, I think from being signed just a couple of days ago, obviously, has made his presence known early. So really curious to see how Lucan will do. He had some nice plays last night. We'll see how Duke Riley progresses. I'm really curious to see if he can continue to maybe put all that summer work in, including and also what Schweitzer. I don't know if Brandon Fusco played last night, or I don't recall seeing him out there. If he did, it was kind of quiet. But I'm curious to see how that guard battle goes because, we've still got a we've still got a bit of a time before we know exactly who's going to hold that position. And Dan Quinn's been harped on Wes Schweitzer a lot for his offseason. And obviously, Wes let a block up last night that I didn't think was great. But then again, that's another guy that, like Duke, may need to take that time that he put in the offseason and have it come into where he is on the field. So obviously, there's a lot to think about, but also not a lot to think about because this was the first game of the preseason. So I think that's where we cut it. And of
Yeah,
course,
well, let's leave
yeah.
them with some, in typical Falcons fashion. Let's talk about that, how the game ended. Let's rush everyone on the field, try and kick this dramatic field goal and complete
Oh, yeah. That's right.
it.
I tried to
That was
block
so
that.
heartbreaking. I got so excited. We might score
Yeah.
three, and then nope.
No, and I feel bad for David Marvin because he literally got
That
they
was
just
his
rushed
only field
him.
goal.
Yeah, that's the thing. That was the only time he got to attempt anything, and it didn't happen. But obviously you're gonna have situations like that potentially happen. And obviously, if it's Matt Bryant, you're a lot more equipped for it if you've been in the league for 15 plus seasons. But if you're David Marvin and this is your first NFL preseason game, I understand why you might miss. But no, that was kind of funny because it's like, oh, of course the Falcons are gonna miss that. But hey, in this Quinn era, we've seen,
There.
although the Quinn era has the grandest act of falconing of all time, we see less like regular falconing. Like I'm not used, we don't see as much like falconing from week to week as we normally do. So I think that's why you have to be encouraged. But yeah, you're right. Last night, poor David Marvin, he was filling in as the main kicker, and he just kind of got put in a hard position, and he didn't make it. And I could tell he was frustrated. But hey, that's how it goes. But
Well, they literally rushed him out there. It's not like they had it planned. I mean, I guess they kind of had it planned or something, but it was literally like, hey, let's all get out here real quick and try and kick this. And it
yeah,
went straight, but it needed a
that's
curve.
true.
So
gotta take your positives from it. That's looking
Yeah.
with the that's looking with a silver lining. The kick
Yep.
went straight. And we are gonna go straight out of this podcast. My name is Corey Woodruff. Thank you for listening to 2018's first. Well, I take that back because we did a couple in January, but the 2018 season's first alcoholic post-game podcast. Evan, thank you for coming on, my man. I appreciate you being our first guest. Let the kind people know where they can find you and all that jazz.
I appreciate you having me on. You can find me on Twitter at Evan Birchfield. Once the season starts, I'll have, or as it gets closer, I'll have more fantasy content up on Rise Up Reader and stuff. So, yeah, I appreciate you having me.
Yes, and make sure you follow Evan with his work and his Twitter and all that fun stuff. You can find me on Twitter at CoreyWoodruff47. And of course, follow along with the Falcoholic on Twitter at the Falcoholic and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And you can find it on SoundCloud. And hey, if you enjoyed it, leave us a review and let us know what you thought. You can always follow the Falcoholic for all of your Falcons updates. And you can follow me, I think I said on Twitter at CoreyWoodruff47. So thank you for listening, guys. We're working out our own kinks to get our show off the ground, so we apologize any of our vocal hiccups, but hey, that gives you something to laugh at. So I guess I'm doing my job tenfold. This has been Corey Woodruff. Thank you for listening. And of course, rise up.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.